The scripture reading this afternoon is from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 17, verses 1 through 19. Luke 17, this is the Word of God. Then he, Jesus, said to his disciples, "It is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day and seven times in a day returns to you saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." And the apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." So the Lord said, "If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come at once and sit down to eat'? But will he not rather say to him, 'Prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself and serve me until I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink?' Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which are commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do.'" Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." The text for the sermon is verses 11 through 19. Beloved congregation of the Lord, this year of 2020, we've had to learn a whole new vocabulary. In January, none of us were speaking of pandemics or COVID-19 or crushing the curve. We didn't have a clue, really, what coronavirus was. We knew nothing about social distancing or quarantine or shutdowns of businesses, or mandatory face masks. All of this is new to us this year. And yet it's not new. Solomon says in the book of Proverbs, "There is nothing new under the sun." And in many ways, what we are experiencing, COVID-19, in many ways, it's similar to the disease that Jesus healed in our text. That was not a pandemic, but in many ways, it was very similar. Our text this afternoon is Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Let me just read to you at this time verses 17 and 18, so we know where this is going. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? 11 through 19 is the text. Jesus and the 10 lepers. We will hear first of all the healing of all 10. And then we'll hear of the gratitude of one. And then Jesus' question, but where are the 9? A question that comes to us this afternoon too. The healing of all 10 lepers. It happened, it says in verse 11. It happened. 2 simple little words. And yet, they depict a real historical event. This, what we read here, really happened. As Jesus went to Jerusalem. He's on his way to Jerusalem for the final time in his life. And it is in Jerusalem that he will be falsely accused of crimes. He will be arrested. He will be tried in the courts of the Jews and the Romans. He will be sentenced to death. He'll be scorned and mocked and whipped. They will spit on him. They will punch his face. They will crown him with thorns and then finally nail him to a cross where he dies a horrific death. And some dear friends of his will place his body in a tomb on Good Friday, and then on Easter Sunday, he will rise from the dead victorious. 40 days later, he will ascend to heaven and be seated at the right hand of God. And what happens in our text happens on his way to Jerusalem, where all this will take place. Those of you who've been to Israel, you know that Galilee is in the north. Jerusalem is much further south. And between the two, in Jesus' days, was the land of Samaria. And the people who lived there were despised by the Jews because they were not a pure race. They likely had a Jewish father and a Canaanite mother. They were considered inferior. They were half-breeds, and their religion was half-worshipping Jehovah and half-worshipping other gods. And the Jews in general hated the Samaritans, and the feeling was mutual. It wasn't safe for a Jew to travel and to stay in Samaria, and the other way around too. It's amazing how often Jesus himself wound up in Samaria. There's one well-known time when he met the woman at the well in John chapter 4. In the village of Samaria called Sychar. Remember, he told her everything she did and how she had 5 husbands and the one she had now wasn't even her husband. And as a result of her testimony, many people in Sychar were saved. This time, Jesus does not go into Samaria, but he's traveling along the border. He's on his way to Jerusalem, so he's heading in a general southward direction, but here he's moving west to east. On his way to Jerusalem, passing through on the border of Samaria and Galilee. Galilee on his left hand, Samaria on his right. And there are Jesus and his disciples walking along this road. And along that road were certain villages, border towns. Think of what Fort Erie used to be, a border town. Still is, but in those days, they would make their living on travelers, on business people. Jewish people going back and forth from Judea to Galilee. As they traveled, they would come to these border villages, and that's what Jesus does too. And as Jesus entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. What are lepers? Children, they are people who had a horrible skin disease called leprosy. It would start out as a small scab or a white spot on the skin of your arm or on your forehead, and then many times it would spread to other parts of your body. Eventually, it would cause numbness in the affected area so that person wouldn't feel any pain there. And as this disease advanced in advanced stages, people's faces would be affected. Parts of them would decay. Many times, ears would fall off. Usually, fingers and toes and even noses would be horribly disfigured. And it affected their voice box. They would become very hoarse. And most tragically of all, Leprosy was nearly always fatal. There were very few cases of Old Testament leprosy healing. We can think of two of them, right? Naaman the Syrian army general and Miriam, Moses' sister. Leprosy was highly contagious, just like COVID-19. Special measures had to be taken. Isolation. In the Old Testament, lepers were banished from their towns and their cities. They were outcasts. They couldn't be even in their family home. They couldn't come anywhere near the religious worship services. They had to be outside. They were quarantined. And when someone came close to them, they had to put their hand over their mouth and say, unclean, unclean, just like a face mask today. And they had to cry this out. That's why it says here, they stood afar off. They couldn't come near anyone. In Bible times, this was considered a picture of a sinner outside of a relationship with God. And like that leper, you and I by nature are unclean, contaminated, infected with sin. Outside of communion with God, outside of God's people, quarantined from God, in isolation from God. And unless there was a miraculous intervention, sin is always fatal. There was only one cure for leprosy, and that would be a miraculous healing. There's only one cure for sin, and that is the miracle of the new birth by the Holy Spirit of God. Well, Jesus meets these 10 lepers, and they have something to say to Jesus. They lifted up their voice, it says, all 10 of them lifted up their voices. They shouted, they cried out loudly. What that must have been for the people around them, these men with their hoarse voices crying, putting everything into this one shout. And what do they shout? Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. It seems from this that they know Jesus could help them. Jesus can heal them. Jesus, famous, spreading all over. Also what happened in Luke Chapter 5, where we read of a man who was full of leprosy, who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy departed from him. Now these 10 heard about that man. And now they see Jesus coming. And here they cry, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They know who Jesus is. They call him by his proper name, Jesus, which means Savior. Master, in Greek, that's a person of very high status. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. Pity us. Show kindness and concern for us. Have mercy. Help us, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. How will Jesus respond to them? When he saw them, verse 14, he said to them, go, show yourselves to the priests. Notice two things in this verse. He saw them. He saw them. And he spoke to them. Jesus saw them. We shouldn't just skip over that very quickly. It doesn't mean he just saw them with the physical eye. He saw them as they really were. Not just 10 leprous men, but 10 men who needed his divine help. Who without him were helpless. He saw them as he sees every sinner who cries to him, Jesus, Master, have mercy on me. Have you ever cried that to the Lord Jesus? Children, you? Jesus, Master, have mercy on me. He saw them. And he didn't just see them. He spoke to them. And he spoke words that they would readily understand. He said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." How strange is that? How is that having mercy on them? Why doesn't Jesus just say, like he said to that man in Luke chapter 5, "I am willing, be cleansed"? That's how he would have mercy on them, isn't it? Why didn't he just say, "Be healed"? Well, we ought not to question the Lord Jesus in what he says, ought we? When he says, "Go, show yourselves to the priests," he has a very good reason for saying that to these 10 men. What is that reason then? Well, according to the Old Testament Levitical law, in Leviticus 13 and 14, where you have the laws of leprosy, there's only one person who could declare a leper healed or cleansed, and that would be the priest. They were the Old Testament health inspectors. They were the only ones who could administer the COVID test or the leprosy test in those days. And only after they pronounced you healed could you rejoin society. And those lepers would know immediately what Jesus meant when he told them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." Because the only time you would tell a leper to go show himself to the priest is if he were healed. But these men are not healed. They're as leprous as ever. And yet he tells them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." What will they do? As long as they stand there by Jesus, their leprosy remains. Well, they all decide to go in obedience to Jesus and show themselves to the priest. They begin to walk towards Jerusalem. That would be a journey of about 4 days. And if we would follow those lepers as they were walking along towards Jerusalem, we would see what happens. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. As they went, as they were walking. We don't know how long after they began to walk, but it seems it would have been very soon. They were cleansed. The leprosy was healed. Their skin came back on them, smooth as a baby's skin. And there was no doubt about it. They could see it. They could feel it. We're healed. They were healed on their way to the priest. Which, isn't that amazing? See how faith works. They had a certain kind of faith, didn't they? They believed that Jesus could heal them. They expressed their belief by calling him Jesus, "Master, have mercy on us." They put their faith into action by going to the priests. They have what we called miraculous faith, the belief that somebody can perform a miracle on you. What a wonderful thing that is. And it worked. But we'll see that it's not enough for your soul. There are many people today, even Christian people, who believe that all is well with their soul because when they were sick, the Lord healed them. And now they think, because the Lord healed me when I was critically ill, the Lord must really love me. And I must be in God's favor. I prayed for healing, and he did it. Or he spared my son from death when I prayed. And usually that's all they talk about, their healing, their physical healing. And they don't speak about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that they so desperately need for their souls. Well, as wonderful as it is, and as undeserved and precious as it is when the Lord heals us, it's not enough for eternity. It's too short. If that miracle doesn't move you to return to the Lord Jesus Christ with gratitude, bowing in the dust before him, glorifying him, and thanking him, it's not enough. Well, Jesus healed all 10. And now we're going to hear about the gratitude of one of the 10. Of those 10 healed lepers, it seems, 9 were Jews and 1 was a Samaritan. And their leprosy had brought them together despite their nationality. That often happens in adversity. That removes all cultural barriers. And here in this little camp of lepers, the Jews and the Samaritans got along. We're all in the same boat, they said. And here they're all on their way to the temple in Jerusalem. All 10 are healed on the way. They can see it in themselves. They can see it in each other. They're sure of that fact. And yet, there's a difference among them. A difference made by grace. Yes, all 10 of them saw that they were healed. And one of them, verse 15, we're not told which one yet. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, our text tells us he does 4 things. He returned, first of all. With a loud voice, he glorified God. He fell down on his face at Jesus' feet. And fourthly, he was giving him thanks. He returned. On his way to Jerusalem, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back. He moved back to where he had just recently been. He hadn't gone very far away yet from Jesus. And instead of continuing to Jerusalem, instead of continuing on to the priests to be declared clean, this one returned. He came back to the place where Jesus had met them outside of the village. He came back to the place where only recently he was leprous, back to the place where he faced certain death not many hours ago, back to the place where Jesus, the Master, had mercy on him. He comes back to Jesus. And what's he doing as he's coming back? Glorifying God with a loud voice. An ongoing glorifying of God. Loudly. And if we were their children, we would have heard him. With that voice that was formerly so hoarse because of leprosy. Now a voice loud and clear, glorifying God as he's coming down the road, shouting, "Praise the Lord! Praise Jehovah! Praise God! Hallelujah! I am healed! Glory be to God!" He returned while praising God with a loud voice. When he comes to the place where Jesus still is, he fell down on his face at Jesus' feet. A display of humble thanksgiving and adoration. He fell down on his face at the feet of Jesus, right there. We don't know how many other people are around there, but there he is, right in the dust on his face before Jesus, a posture of worship, the posture of an unworthy one before God. And isn't that a good place to be? On our face at Jesus' feet. Jesus, the one who has healed us from the leprosy of sin. And what's he doing there? On his face at Jesus' feet? Our text tells us, giving Jesus thanks. And again, if we were there, we would hear it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If our children were to be listening sometimes at our bedroom door as we were praying, is that what they would hear from us too, parents? Thank you, Jesus. On our feet, on our face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And this man does that, perhaps not even realizing that Jesus is the Son of God. Perhaps not even realizing that this is God the Son who has healed me. What's most remarkable are the next words. And he was a Samaritan. He was one of these despised ones. Why does Luke include this detail? Because to Jewish minds, it is unthinkable that a Samaritan would worship God. Surely they know only Jews worship the true God. Samaritans don't. And the Jews on the whole rejected Jesus. They would not worship him. But Luke shows us that the church of Jesus Christ would include Samaritans, foreigners, Gentiles, like us. Of the 10 healed lepers, only one came back to glorify God and to thank Jesus, a Samaritan. We'll skip verses 17 and 18 for now. We'll come back to that in our third point. For now, we want to see Jesus' response to the one who came back. What an amazing truth we learn here from the lips of Jesus, the Son of God. Verse 19, Jesus said to the Samaritan, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Jesus looks down at the Samaritan lying there, face down in the dust at his feet, thanking him for his miraculous healing. And Jesus speaks to him. And notice what he says to him. "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Stand up and be going. Be on your way. This man still had to go to the priests to be declared cleansed. And Jesus tells him, as it were, you still have work to do. Go to Jerusalem. Yes, you're right, glorifying God and thanking me. And actually, the fact that you are doing that proves your true faith in me. Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. His faith? Yes, his faith. Substance of things hoped for. Evidence of things not seen. Jesus says, that faith has made you well. What is that faith then? Believing and trusting in someone. This man has faith, not just miraculous faith, true saving faith. And we know that faith is a free gift from God, from Ephesians chapter 2 and other places. The Bible makes it clear what connects sinners to God is faith. And in the Christian faith, the object is always the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what does Jesus say this man's faith has done? Your faith has made you well. Now, that Greek word for made you well has many shades of meaning. Sometimes it's used for rescuing someone. Other times it's used for healing someone. Other times it's used for saving someone, saving their souls. And from the context, we need to determine which it is. Now, all 10 of those lepers were made whole, were made well by Jesus through faith. And yet, Jesus says this to the Samaritan only. So I take it to mean here, not your faith has made you well or healed you, but your faith has saved you. Not just your body, but your soul. That's the way it's translated in Luke chapter 7, verse 50, where Jesus says to the woman, "Your faith has saved you." The Dutch Bible translates our text that way too. Your faith has saved you. Saved you. What does Jesus mean by that? Your faith has saved you. Well, by means of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, sinners are saved. Saved from what? from the wrath of God against their sin, from eternal and spiritual death. In fact, by believing and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ instead of receiving the eternal spiritual death we deserve, we receive eternal spiritual life by God's grace alone, through faith alone in Christ alone. So what is the evidence of this man's true faith? What sets him apart from the 10? Or from the other 9, I mean. Well, unlike the others, only this one turned back, returned, glorifying God, falling down on his face at Jesus' feet, thanking him. And beloved, that's the evidence of the faith that saves you. You return to the Lord Jesus Christ, glorifying God, worshiping Jesus, thanking him for his gift of saving your soul. And you live your life that way out of thankfulness to Jesus. So Jesus healed all 10. One of them returns. And that raises the question, doesn't it? Where are the other 9? And it's a question Jesus asked. See, between what you read in verse 16, that the man fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan, and verse 19, Jesus said to him, "Arise, go your way, your faith has made you well," we have the words of Jesus about the other 9 lepers. All 10 were cleansed. Only one returned to give thanks to Jesus. And so Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed?" And children, if we were there, we would say, "Well, yes, of course, Jesus, all 10 were healed." But Jesus has a follow-up question. And he's not asking it of anyone in particular. It's as if he says, "I healed 10 lepers, but only one came back. Where are the rest of them? But where are the 9? And again, if we were there, we would say, "Well, they're on their way to the priests, just like you told them. They're obeying your command." But from what follows here, we learn that for the Lord Jesus Christ, strict outward obedience to his command is not everything. We can obey Jesus' commands. We can obey the 10 commandments even outwardly. We can live clean lives. We can be blameless in society and yet not please Jesus. Something else is more important than outward obedience to the law, and that is an inward spirit of worship, giving glory to God, thanking Jesus. But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? A foreigner to the Jews. A foreigner is anyone who's not a Jew. There was a sign at the temple in Jerusalem. It said, "Let no foreigner enter within the screen and enclosure surrounding the sanctuary." They couldn't even come close to the temple. Why is Jesus asking these questions in this way? Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Doesn't he know where they are? Of course he does. John 2 verse 25, he knew what was in man. He's not asking for his own sake as if he didn't know, but he's asking for the sake of his disciples and for the other people standing there and for our sakes as we consider this history today. Like in the history of the 10 lepers, we are all so richly blessed. In this season of Thanksgiving, you think about it. No one here lacked any of the necessities of life. We're all physically blessed way beyond what we need. Yes, there are people going through afflictions, and others are carrying hidden crosses. I don't want to minimize any of that. But do we remember the truth that anything above hell is more than we deserve? When's the last time we thought that? And we consider what we deserve. No one can complain. No one is hungry. Our homes are warm. There's plenty in the cupboard. We have the Word of God in our homes. We can attend the worship services. I know it's restricted. We'd love to all be back together again, all at the same time, twice every Sunday. And yet, this church family cares for each other. I think of all the believers in this congregation, people of faith by God's amazing grace. We recognize, don't we, that we are what we are only by God's grace. We are in Christ by faith. Christ is in us, the hope of glory. His Holy Spirit is in us. We are justified, declared righteous by God Himself on the basis of Christ's righteousness. We are this very moment, dear believers, being conformed to the image of the Son of God by the Holy Spirit of God. In our life of sanctification, we depend on that Holy Spirit to constantly apply the benefits of Christ. And all we have ever contributed or do contribute of our own is stained with sin. How amazing, isn't it? The grace of God in the life of a sinner. What cause we have for glorifying God, worshiping Him, thanking Jesus. And yet, if you're anything like me, how few of us are in our right place today. And where is that? Turning back to Jesus, glorifying God, falling on our faces at Jesus' feet and giving thanks to Jesus. That's a good place to be, dear believers. But we are so busy living life, going about our business, meeting our deadlines, that soon we forget where we came from. Let's not forget. Others are striving so busily to be better, to be good enough, working so hard. So hard that we soon forget where we began, on our faces, at Jesus' feet. You see, when we forget our starting point, which is our Lord Jesus Christ and His free grace, when we forget that, we go off course. We go on a course where we depend on our own strength in the direction of trying harder, spending more time, being more diligent, being more dedicated, trying to be there enough, or in the direction of growing careless in our lifestyles, getting lazy and away from the fountain, secretly thinking, well, I'm saved anyway, so I'm okay. And either one of those is so dangerous for Christian people. It leads to a life of thanklessness and ingratitude and waxing cold. So today, let us turn back to where we started with the Lord Jesus Christ and His grace. Turn back, glorifying God, falling down at Jesus' feet, thanking Him. No, not like that Pharisee who said, God, I thank you that I'm not like those other sinners, but more like the tax collector. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. More like these lepers. Jesus, Master, have mercy on me. So when we do that, then we may rejoice all over again, because we know what Jesus will say. I am willing. Be clean. He will say, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. He will say, your faith has saved you. Go in my strength. Go with my Holy Spirit who is in you. But always remember, we need to be always returning, glorifying God, falling at Jesus' feet, thanking Him, saying, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord God Almighty, gracious Father in heaven, Lord, how amazing grace is that you would be willing to speak to Samaritans, to foreigners like us. Lord God Almighty, we pray for the believers in this church that we may grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, your disciples asked, please, Lord, increase our faith. We ask the same thing. Lord, grant that we may come more and more often, returning to Jesus, glorifying God, falling down on our faces at His feet and thanking Jesus. Lord, bless the children of the congregation with childlike faith, that they too, with their young voices, may cry, Jesus, Master, have mercy on me. We pray for those who are still strangers to grace and strangers to Christ, O Lord, that this day may be the day of your sovereign good pleasure, to bring them to the realization of their utter hopelessness and helplessness in themselves, that they may come for the first time in their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, crying out, even with a hoarse voice, have mercy on me. Lord, bless us as we leave this place. Keep us safe. Help us in this week as we go about our work to do it to the glory of your great and awesome name. For Lord, that is our heart's desire, to glorify the Lord in our thoughts, our words, and our actions. Help us to do so. Keep us from sin. Forgive our many, many sins, blot them out, we pray, in the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.